Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, okay. I like that. Y'all surprised me on down. I'm back up here again, and it's great to be here this morning. I'm going to try not to hold you too long. Curtis got me up here. He's going on his vacation. You know, everybody needs a vacation every now and then. Whatever he's going, he's going to see his son play, and I guess that would be a vacation for me, too. But what I'm going to try to do is deliver God's word as he would have me deliver it. And I ask that you just bear with me. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I want to say, before we go any further, let me make sure that we thank God for allowing us this day. Thank him for his son, which is our salvation and our hope. I want to thank the leaders of the church. And when I say the leaders of the church, that's the men here in the church. Believe it or not, whether you feel like you're leading or not, you're in a position because we have young men and children that are growing up in the church. It is imperative that they see the leaders doing exactly what they're supposed to do, so they got some idea of what we should be doing or what they should be doing when they get older. My church family, I know you say, well, you just throw that out there and use that on Sunday, but we are family. We are family. And as I get in my sermon, you'll find out that probably with some rigid support, church is probably the only family that you have, if the church is right. If the church is right. And to my wife, and where my son at? He gone? I was going to say my wife and children, but I guess he left. You know, I got a son here somewhere. Where's Joshua at? Back there? Okay. And family. They're good. They're good support. Thank y'all so much for that. My scripture reading will be coming from Matthew's 10:32-42. I know that's a lot of verses. Y'all bear with me. I got my big, bold Bible print here, so I shouldn't butcher it up too much. Y'all just stick with me, and we'll try to get us something out of here we can feast on and use. When you have it, say amen. I'll read. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to the world to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of disciples, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I know you're saying that's a lot greater what's getting ready to go on. You always come up with some stuff. Well, that's what's in this world. Some stuff. But my title, My title for today is The Jesus That No One Wants to Talk About. The Jesus That No One Wants to Talk About. Now, that's not to allude to the fact that there is two Jesus, or there's more than one Jesus. Ain't but one. But you'll find as I go through, and y'all please bear with me, that sometimes we as humans can be selective about what we want to listen to and believe. If you would, please let me pray before I get started. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, as I come here to deliver your message this morning, I ask that you move on my heart, and my tongue, my conscience, Lord, and my soul, that I am an adequate representative of your word, Father. I ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. As I said, the Jesus that nobody wants to talk about. The book of Matthew was believed to be written by St. Matthew. I think this is important. This is a little background stuff. By St. Matthew, the evangelist, also one of the 12 disciples. He was known then as a tax collector. The gospel, according to St. Matthew, was composed in Greek sometime after 70 C.E. Now, for me, I don't know. I guess all you guys already knew what that was. C.E. was the commonly used candle system then, the calendar that they use in determining time. C.E. C.E. means common era or Christian era. That's what it means. But that's the actual calendar that they use during that time to keep up with what's going on. Why that's important is that you get some idea of the mindset of what was going on at that time and what St. Matthew's was trying to convey. The reason I want you to understand that is because that was in 70 CE and it applies right now to where we are today. 70 CE. The important part, and the reason this is an important part, is because we get some understanding of what Jesus was looking for. The first point that you should know is that Jesus is establishing the attitude that he wanted for his disciples. The attitude. You like me, you come down, you know. Most of the times when we use the term attitude, we think of something derogatory. Man, he got an attitude. I didn't want him to do nothing else for me. Or as an employee, you say, oh, he's got a good attitude. I can use him working for me. Well, in Jesus' word, it is imperative that if we are going to be his disciples, we are going out, it is imperative that we have a good attitude. You know, I have a problem with somebody trying to talk to me about Jesus, and they look like they're ready to kill me. Graveyard dead right there. I just don't see it on your face. There's a little commercial that they got. Come on, me and my wife talk about. You know, the guy standing there eating a hoagie, and the woman draws a picture of him, and it looks exactly like him. And he's standing there and say, I don't see it. I'm saying, well, I just don't see it. When you come to me talking about love and Jesus and you're looking like this, I just don't see it. I don't see it. But I'm not going to tie you up with that. However, before we go over the verses, I would like to talk to you boldly, clearly, and concisely about what we should be doing. Because Jesus here in these verses is telling his disciples the attitude and what he expects from us. What he expects by us. And to do that, you're going to have to make a change. You're going to have to make a change. So, if you would, just sit back with me as we go through here. Let me get my papers turned back around. After reading this in Matthew, I realized and understand that we're doing Jesus and his word a disservice. Say, Brady, what you talking about now? After reading this, see, as Christians, when we come in, we don't have a real problem saying, Jesus loves you, child. God loves you. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What is the other one that you got to look at? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Yeah, we got that. We don't have a problem. We'll say that anytime, anywhere. You know, God is our provider. He this, that, and the other. That's true. That's needed. That's important. But that's not all that Jesus said. You don't care. That's true. That's needed. That's what Jesus put out. But that's not all he said. See, let me give you this example. I respond better when it comes to my parenting from daddy when I knew the consequences of what was coming. Oh, yeah. I got you now. You understand that, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. Boy, don't let me come up here another time and you ain't fed that hog. The hog got fed. You can believe that. I knew what was coming from that. I knew that he was going to tear my behind up. I mean, he was going to bring scunion from you. I don't usually give one whooping from daddy about an issue in a lifetime for that. If I got another whooping, it wasn't about that. You can believe that. I learned that the first time around. And that's the issue with Jesus. See, we don't ever talk about the consequences of not doing what Jesus said. Oh, Grady, you can't. Don't tell him he's going to go to hell. You're going to drive him off. Say what? Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that, you know, your soul is going to suffer eternal damnation in hell if he don't get right and stop stealing. You're going to drive him off. Huh? You got to ask yourself, what kind of sense? Jesus is love. He ain't going to never stop stealing. He's never going to stop stealing. But you didn't. Okay. Listen to me. We fail, I think, we fail constantly in giving Jesus, God, the Holy Word, the Holy Spirit, the actual support that they need to move our people in the direction of the church and salvation. That's a part. Listen to me now. In this message, Jesus starts out. He starts out teaching and telling them to start with about allegiance. Let's start with that. Allegiance. Allegiance. How loyal are you to something or somebody? How loyal are you to something or somebody? Jesus teaches, listen to me, to confess your love or your desire, your want to be like me openly. That's your first problem right there. If the only time you find out that he's a Christian is in church on Sunday morning, he may not be. He may not be. There's another 6 days and what is it? 22 hours that you spend outside the door. And he's never under any kind of appearance or attitude or demeanor that would lead you to think that he's a Christian. Loyalty and allegiance. Well, I can't say that because I don't want to get in trouble. You know, she's a good daughter-in-law, but there's certain things she ain't ready to go to church yet. This is your child getting ready to marry or already married somebody and bringing them into the household, and you said that you don't want to tell them that yet because you don't want to run them off or she ain't ready to go yet? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I'm slow. I'm from Willow. But this ain't making a lot of sense to me. You're going to wait till after somebody dead, somebody done cheated, somebody done left, somebody done committed adultery, somebody done divorced, until you start saying, well, you know you can go to hell for that? That's a good time to say it? I know. Get on with what you got. Okay. Loyalty to God. Loyalty to Jesus. If you check the Bible, and when Jesus called his disciples, not one was called in secret. So why do you have to keep your faith a secret? Your belief in Christ a secret? Why I don't find out until Sunday morning, 10 minutes after the preacher started preaching, that you love me? Why I'm finding out there? Lord. Allegiance. Well, your life should be a representation of what you believe. I should be able to, you don't have to say a word to see the Christ in you. You should be living so that if you were arrested for following Jesus, that you're not one of them that they let go because of lack of evidence. It's much better. They let you back off because of lack of evidence. I didn't find enough to make me think he was a Christian or not. Allegiance and the Lord and loyalty. Allegiance and loyalty. We often get in the mindset that we have to be a quiet, subdued, submissive, slow person. But I've never seen in the Bible, even in the New Testament, even as the apostles were saying, never seen any word in there where they say, holy. We won't mention that yet. That he's going to go, that's wrong, or go to hell. We'll wait before we tell him. When it's wrong, it's wrong. Right then. Yeah, it's still wrong yesterday, but it's wrong right now. And if you are silent, you're not loyal, and you decide to wait, what do he think or she thinks about you? Christian. He said, great, I didn't come in here for you to holler at me like that. No, I want you to understand, you know, that preaching and teaching and talking about Jesus' love, grace, and mercy, you got to understand that, but there you need to know there's some more to this. There's a consequence for your action. What it says inside, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Is that what they're saying? That's the same way with your soul. That's the same way with your salvation. Listen to me now. Choose to not enact. If you had control over a calendar and you can tell when you're going to live and die, you got a viable plan. It'll work for you. You can say, I'm going to wait right up to the 15 minute before I'm going to die and I'm going to get saved. That's what you could if that was some case. But that, I'm here to tell you, you've lost, again, your rabbit mind if you think it worked like that. That's not how it works. God, our Father in heaven, is the only time holder there is. Why is that important? Well, if you have no idea how long you got left, how do you know when it's time to get ready to leave? How do you know? Which is why the Bible teaches, and they cover this, teach him up the way he should go when he's young. So we don't have this problem. Now, and we talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. See, if we're doing what we're supposed to do here consistently, doing what we're supposed to do, then we're not as, let me back up, then we're doing the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You don't have to worry about on the day he's at the hospital in a coma or she's somewhere can't speak or there's no way in salvation that you have to do a Paul Harvey review. You know who Paul Harvey is, right? Paul Harvey said, what's that? Now it's time for the rest of the story. Because we had you fooled. You've been fooling yourself walking around here talking about Jesus is love, Jesus is that, but you didn't tell him about the consequences of not getting right with God. We, as God people, we chose to follow God, God's servants, have an obligation to be loyal, have an obligation to be servants of him, humble, loving. We have an obligation to be Christ-like. What you've got to also add with that is all the time. That's not one of those selective things that you pick up and say, at church this Sunday I'm going to be loyal. You don't say that, but that's what you do. That's what we do. That's what I do. That's what, and I take that back. Y'all forgive me. That's what I do. I don't want anybody to feel offended. You have to look at this and see how it applied to you, but I'm here to tell you in verses 32 to 42, God, Jesus tells his disciples what he expects in attitude, what he expects in allegiance, and what he expects. You say, well, he said he's going to bring a sword. You need to understand what that means. What that means is, listen to me, the sword is going to be when I look at my wife and say, baby, what you're doing is not in God's will. I can't support you in that. I'm going to put variance between a father and son, a daughter and mother, a daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. The verse is when you choose God to believe this here, if he's not like that, you got a difference in opinion here. And you don't write it off because he's your biological person. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my mother. Mother, daddy, son, father, all can be wrong. I know it's ugly. This is hard. This is bad. Now, this is truly the boogerman in here. This is the boogerman. That's why this is the one they don't want to talk about. This is the one that he said, look where he said. If you go back to the verse, he says, look what he says. He says, let me get back over here to it. He says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Huh? What you think he's talking about? You think he's talking about some chicken slipped in there, a dog got inside the house? Huh? I'm here to tell you that ain't what he's talking about. He's telling you that the consequences of you holding to my word in your family is going to cause detention because Satan may have got into one of them mind there. Satan is in there. Satan sees that the strongest thing that we got, if the strongest thing great is your family, then that's what I'm going to try to tear up. That's where I'm going to bring the division at. That's the sword. The sword is the difference between my word and what the way you want to live. Which means that at certain times, sometimes, you're going to have to say, we're not doing that here. You're going to have to be able to say that to your loved one. You know, the biggest danger of idolatry is love. Huh? What did he say? What did he say? Yeah! The biggest danger of idolatry is love. Why? It's because we have our false sense or illusion of what love is, and you show a greater fondness of this than you do God's word. Let me clear some more smoke away for you. That just don't mean that pretty shiny Corvette you got that could be that wife or your son or your boss man or that job. You put something, anything, no make no difference what it is ahead of God. You own a direct head-on course. Listen to me. You can quote me. Directly headed to hell with that one. why you talking this mess here? We ain't never going to let you come up there no more. Listen to me. That's what it's got in there. Go through the commentary. What? When you pick up your cross, that's what it tells you. Pick up your cross. Ah, they talk about it in the Bible. They look. You can sit here and stay superficial if you want to. You better get deep into this thing. He's talking about the burdens that you have to deal with. Maybe your job. Maybe whatever it takes that's going to come into conflict. That's going to cause conflict. That's going to be conflict with your position in his word. That thing. You're going to have to pick up and bear it. Look, you sit here waiting. Well, I talked to God, and he said, he come to me and told me to work this job on Sunday and I could get my house note paid. You on cheap crack cocaine. If you believe in some mess like that. If somebody got you believing some mess like that. There is no Superman leaping tall buildings with single bounds. Nobody's stopping. You're going to have to carry your cross. And sometimes, because this is not our home, because this ain't where we're supposed to be, sometimes you're going to have to suffer the hardship of it. Oh, man. Listen to me. Everything that I'm telling you, I can reference what is here in the Bible. The Jesus that you don't want to talk about. Ain't the one we talked about in Sunday school. That ain't him. Yes, it is. Jesus holding you accountable for that. You chose not to talk about that. You chose not to adjust your life on that. You chose to selectively have your salvation on hold until Sunday morning when you walk back in church. See, the problem with that is like it goes back to every single statement, everyone that preached that. Tomorrow is not promised. That's the problem with that. That mindset won't work for you. The Jesus that nobody wants to talk about. He said, Jesus said this. He said, if you, I know you, tiny little Johnny, he just as sweet as he can be. I can't afford. I don't do this for Johnny. Oh, baby Johnny. He said, not roundabout, not distorted. He said, any man that love his father, his mother, his sister, better, more, greater than me is not worthy of me. He can't talk to me like that. You can throw your tomatoes just when I say I'm through. Thoughts are flinging them up at me. But when you get through, do me a favor. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Don't go home and put your coffee on it. Read it. Don't sit here and say that's Old Testament. That's new. Don't sit here and say he's talking about them. He's talking about your salvation. That's Jesus talking. His job here is to get you saved. Well, it is ludicrous for you to sit here and say, it used to get me in church. Well, the baby gets up and start racing around through the church. All disobedient, hollering, screaming, we trying to listen to the word, and they let the child go through. I'm not trying to get in your hip pocket on how to run church. But when are you going to start raising him up in the way he's supposed to go? See, if the parent allows this, you're the hero in his life. That same child, believe it or not, when they become an adult, that same child is the one you say, I'm hurt that this happened. Yeah. 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 Yeah, you hurt. See, I'm going to tell y'all something I love, though. I know how I was when I was coming up. This is the wonderful thing about experience. God allowed things to happen for you to learn, grow. If you open up that Bible there and you don't never learn nothing from it, don't pick nothing, that means one of two things. You either know everything in there or you didn't read nothing dark. That's what that means. Listen to me. When I was coming up as a kid, I thought my daddy was the best thing in the world. He was my hero. And it should be, rightfully so. Should be. Listen to me. You could have done anything, but you better not separate me from my dad. Now, my mother left when I was two. Daddy raised all five of us. So, he was my hero. But as I got older, I could see some of the things daddy was doing, I wouldn't have done. He wasn't a preacher. I could see some of the things that daddy doing, I felt kind of, you know, like that wasn't right. I wasn't in the church. I could see some things that daddy doing after I got older. The older I got, I found out that was wrong. Straight up wrong. To the point that I said, when I have my children, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to allow that. I want you to know, you say what you want to. It bothered me. It hurt me to the core. It was worse than any other kind of pain I had. To look at daddy, and when daddy say something, I said I had to get enough intestinal fortitude to say that I'm a grown man. Now, I'm a soldier in the United States Army, an officer. Dad, boy, so. No, sir, I wouldn't do that. To get enough intestinal fortitude to say that to my dad. But I thought about, with all the power that my daddy had when I was coming up, the way we believed in it, had he been rock solid in the word, how much further along I would be in learning those hard lessons. We as parents got to understand what love is. There's no way, it is impossible, can't happen for your child to be 100% right all the time. You've lost your rabbit mind. You're out. You're crazy. And the sooner you understand that, the sooner you realize that you need God in your life. Reward for doing God's will. Let me tell you something. This is the other part that I'm going to tell you. When I became a father, me and my son bumped heads. I think now, as I got, you know, at the age that I think that's inevitable with every relationship with parents and stuff. You're going to have things that you and your son disagree with. But like everything in the world, there's a right way and a wrong way to approach and handle things. I just thank God that he was in my life at the time that me and my son bumped heads, that I could hold to this. I said, and you can quote me. He'll tell you this. I said, when you're ready for me to be a father and you're ready to be my son, you can come back and stay. I don't want to dime from you, but you can't stay here like this. Say what you want to. Great as a bad person or whatever the case may be, what you want. I had to get to the point where I don't need to go to hell with you for the same thing. Allowing you to do what you do. And in doing that, I realized that the position I took, church, the position I took had to be the one that I have to live by. The position I took had to be the one that I controlled my house by. It had to be the one that I held in place regardless of come. How do you say hell and high water or whatever it is, whatever happened, that's what's going down. My son come back. It wasn't even, I think, maybe 2, maybe 3 months. And out of all of them, I think he and I have the better relationship for every one of them. And every single time we talk, especially about him, because he got a child now, but every time we talk, Daddy, I apologize for what I did. Thank you so much. You say, great, I don't want to hear about your bad things or your bad problems. Let me tell you something. And I ain't going to run this down in the dirt to you. I just need you to understand. The Jesus that we don't want to talk about, in a lot of cases, is more important than the one that we do talk about. there is a consequences for our actions. There is a price we're going to have to pay for being on this earth. There is a time that there's going to become a reckoning. You're going to have to get to that. And because you don't have any control over that, the time for you to get right with God is right now. The time to make that decision, the time to say, no, I want the whole. I want to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's the entire thing. Jesus is love. He's our Savior. That's our salvation. God, grace, and mercy, you can't beat it. But let me tell you the consequences of not going with that. For whatever brought you in here, the truth of the matter is, if you think, all I got to do is pull it off until I die. You've lost your mind. There is an accountability coming. Soul, eternal damnation. You need to read about it. If you believe this, then that should be real in your life. If you believe this, if you come in here for the fruit and the bread, then get you one and move on out. But if you believe this, don't take another second, another minute to sit here and say, well, I'll change later on down the road. You look at the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know, me and my wife talk sometimes and we go home, I say, well, situation come up, and I say sometimes, I know y'all hear me talk about it a lot because life living is right now. Not tomorrow, it's right now. And I say, you know, so-and-so did this, and it was wrong. And I should have said something. Yeah. I said, but I'm going to call him up and talk to him, ask him to forgive me, and tell him he shouldn't be doing so-and-so-and-so. And I apologize. What I apologize for is that I knew it was wrong then and didn't say nothing. Because they look at me and say, Grady is a man of faith. He believes in the word, and they have an expectation. That's what Jesus is talking about. What's expected from his disciples? Your attitude. Your desire to be a legion. Your desire to hold to the truth regardless of who it is. That way, when I get to the point where somebody says, well, and you get, as you get older, you're more concerned about, I guess being like that. But, Grady, if God come right now, are you ready? Don't y'all ask that question. That's your question to you. That's your question to you. If you believe that, make sure you're honest to yourself. Make sure you're honest to yourself. Because once your time is up, your time is up. There is no going back to change. There is no going back. The rich man said to Abraham, can you send Lazarus over to dip his finger in some water for my tongue? No, you had your good things then. He can't go, there's a gulf between us. And I'm paraphrasing, he can't go there, you can't come here. That's it. That's it. So if you believe what you're doing in here, make sure you hold to the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the God that nobody wants to talk about, the Jesus, the part about Jesus. What is the consequences of you living the way you're living? What are the consequences? And now, are you doing the right thing for your family by taking the silent position? Silent treatment. I went through this. If you've noticed, at my last couple of sermons, we were going through Matthew's, and I bring it to us like this, is because whenever I see a crack or a flaw, I feel like it's my Christian obligation to bring it here to us, because I know I'm just like you walking on the face of the earth. If I know it's a flaw and a crack in my life, it's a good possibility that there may be one in yours. May not be the same one. But I know if the word says that we all sin and fall short, there is something in your spiritual wagon that we need to throw out. We all have a wagon. May not be Lincoln, a liquor, may not be stealing, may not be that, but there's something in there that you need to get straight. There's something that you need to empty out. We all have it. I can't empty nobody but mine. Which is why it's so imperative that we understand the Jesus that nobody wants to talk about. The Jesus that nobody wants to mention. I'll apologize. I know you say, well, I hope his battery go dead and he shut up. Well, I'm getting ready to get down and the battery's still green. Forgive me. I get passionately involved because I know it's my life. I watch family members, friends, and folk I don't know. They all meet the same fate. That's death. So it seems that that's the one thing is still certain about God's word. Well, all of it is still certain, but that's another indication that God's word is for real. That's coming. And if you don't get your life straight, if you don't get it right, if you don't get in tune with the Jesus that nobody wants to talk about, you subject yourself and whoever's in your charge to damnation. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I guess I hollered at you enough that you may not be back this week, this afternoon to hear the rest. It won't be the rest, it'll be something else, but hear my next sermon. Thank you again for listening to me. But what you should do, in my advice, is that you incorporate your plan of salvation, your plan to change. And you look at it, and I look at it with my plan, and I say, you know, my plan has to be inclusive of my family because I have an obligation to live right. I can't make them do anything, but Grady, you know, what they say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He's already showed us what he would. It's clear, concise. The question is, what did Grady do? That's the question. What did you do? That's the question. That's the question. Why are you in the doing mode? That's because you are living. That's because blood is really warm in your veins. You need to do the right thing. You need to do that. Incorporate your plan. And in your plan, make sure that you're hearing the gospel. Believing in Christ. Don't just come here on Sunday and look at it and then go outside the door. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Repent of your past sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized. And live faithfully. You're going to have to make that change. You've got to incorporate that. You can't just listen to it Sunday and say, that's what I want to do, and walk out. I'm telling you. And through that, like the message says, I hate to be redundant. Like the message says, that's going to put a variance between you and how somebody. Man, let me tell you something. It's hard to get the youth because I was a youth when I met. Daddy said, boy, either go to church or stay here in the yard. But you're not going to sit here and go out there and hang out with whatever, and won't even go to church. He didn't go. But I had to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. Now, that didn't have a great impact, but now it does in my life. That's why you see, if my boy in my house, he's here with me. If it's possible, he's here with me. My children, they come with me. I don't care how old they get, they'll always be my child. I'll always be their father. But if you're going to come up under my household the way I believe, this is the Lord, that this is how I stand, this is the plan for me. And I say that to you. Establish your plan. Establish your plan. Establish your plan. Tomorrow is not promised. Establish your plan. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to my sermon. Would you come now as we stand and sing?